Tonight I'm going to be sharing on a song we sang tonight. It's called We've Got a Great Big Wonderful God. And we're going to start in 1 Chronicles chapter 29. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. And verse 10. All right, 1 Chronicles 29, verse 10, it says, Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. So David gathered all the people together to praise God. And David said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above what? All. And that's our God. Here David praises God before all the people. Right? It was important for him to gather together all the people he was responsible for to ensure that they knew who their God was and how great that he was. Right? He was a man after God's own heart, it says in the Bible. And he recognized just how great and big and wonderful God really is. And that God is above all. And so, tonight we're going to look at the things in that wonderful song that it says God is. And we have a God who is always victorious. Always victorious. And it says there in verse 11 that the Lord is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory, right? David was very familiar with the victory that originates with God. He knew this experientially over and over and over again as the king of God's people, right? The Old Testament is full of records where David led the Israelite army to a number of victorious battles throughout his time as king. And even as a young man, right, we remember how David got his start, he gave him the victory over Goliath, right? Just as a wee lad, if you will, right? So David was very familiar with the victory that God brings. Go to 2 Samuel, back a few pages, 2 Samuel 23. So we have a God who is always victorious. And we're not going to read a ton of records in the Old Testament, but I'm sure you're familiar with many, many of them, where God gave his people the victory in battle in really weird and amazing ways, right? In ways that they were outnumbered, in ways that just didn't make sense, you know, whether it was he sent bees after the army, you know, he made them, you know, break pots in the middle of the night with lanterns in them so that everybody freaked out and turned on each other. God just found ways to give his people the victory. And in 2 Samuel 23, verse 9, it says, this is a section where it's talking about a catalog of all the different mighty men who fought alongside David, but it says, And after him was Eleazar, the son of who? Dodo. Yeah. And the Ahohite. One of the three mighty men with David when they defied the Philistines that were gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were where? Nowhere to be found. One of three with David. One plus three is?
Four.
That's it. So there were four of them against the Philistines because all the other men of Israel were gone away. And he arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand clave unto the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day. And the people returned after him only when it was over, only to the spoil. Right? So God gave these four men a great victory. The victory came from God. right? He's the one who wrought a great victory. Sure, they had to fight it, but it was because of God that they were victorious. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hararite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop where there was a piece of ground full of lentils, you know, really important ground, full of lentils. Yeah. And the people fled from the Philistines. They were scared, and the Philistines were going to take their lentils. That's very sad. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended the lentils and slew the Philistines. And the Lord wrought a what? Great victory, right? And so the point is, lentils are great. Now, the point is that God is the one who brings the victory, right? God is the one who makes us victorious. We will always be victorious with God on our side. But, as we know, it's not simply physical wars and battles that we fight. Go to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. So it's important to know that when you're facing a difficult situation, we might not have to fight in wars and battles like the children of Israel did. But when we face difficult situations, it's important to remember that with God on your side, you're going to be victorious, because we have a God who's always victorious. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat," and that's God who begat, "loveth him also that is begotten of him." And that's the rest of us. "By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith," our believing. So what gives us the victory? Our believing. Our believing the word of God. "Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" Right? People who believe that Jesus is the Son of God are born again. They're God's kids. And they have the victory. The context is in chapter 4, verse 4. So turn back a page. Chapter 4, verse 4 says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them," the spirits in the world, the spiritual influence of the adversary, "because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Right? We have the victory. We have overcome, right, those spiritual forces. It's a spiritual victory because we have Christ in us, right? And Romans 8:37 says that we're more than conquerors in any situation. So we have a God who is always victorious. Go to 1 Corinthians 15. And we're so super victorious that in 1 Corinthians 15:54, it talks about another great victory that we've already won. 1 Corinthians 15:54. "So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Right? So we have the victory over death. Right? As born-again believers, we're going to heaven. Right? We're going to heaven. When Jesus Christ comes back, we're getting up. "Therefore, as a result of that," verse 58, "my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Right? What a great reminder. We ought to be resolute, we ought to be steadfast, always working for God, because we already have the victory over death, right? When Jesus Christ comes back, we're going up. If we're alive, we're going up. And if we're not, we're getting up and going up. So we have that victory. We also have a God who's always watching over us. He's always victorious. He's always watching over us. Go to Hebrews 13, verse 5. Hebrews 13, verse 5. God told us in the manifestations tonight that we would be reading this verse. All right, he didn't tell us that. But he told us what's in this verse. Hebrews 13, 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee, nor what? Forsake thee. Right? God told us that tonight. That he would always be there for us. That he would never leave us or forsake us. God promises to never leave us. He's a God who's always watching over us. If we're right here, God's right there. If I run over there, God's over there. If I fly to the other end of the country, guess what? God's there. I can't get away from God. And that's kind of cool, right? God will be with you wherever you are. He's always watching over you. Go to 2 Chronicles 16. 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9. And isn't it wonderful to have a God who's always looking out for you? Right? He's always, my daughters this weekend were at a park with friends of theirs, Malia's birthday party. And they were all walking together. What was there, like 6 or 8 of you guys? Okay, there was 5 of them. And this guy looks at them as they're walking past the basketball courts or whatever, and he says, you guys just keep moving. And they're like, what? And he's like, you just keep moving. And so they were like, okay, weirdo.
No, you're saying that's wrong.
Said, I'm sorry, what did they say?
He said, walk the other way.
Okay, walk the other way. And they were like, huh? And he's like, walk the other way. So they did. And then moments later, gunfire opens up. And they had to jump behind a wall and duck for cover, and one of the cars on the street had its window shot out, and it was the one car in that line of 4 cars that wasn't a believer's car. Believer's car, believer's car, that car. Believer's car, believer's car. God's always watching over us. It's pretty incredible. Even when we're not thinking about it, right? They weren't walking around the park going, I hope God's going to take care of us here. They thought everything was fine, but God just has a way. 2 Chronicles 16:9, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. You can't get away from him. To show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Right? That's our God. He's constantly looking for ways to show himself strong on our behalf. He's always looking for ways to help. Right? He wants to bless you. You're his kids. He wants to show off his strength to your benefit. That's the kind of God that he is. Go to 3 John, verse 2. 3 John, verse 2. It's only one chapter. Third John, verse 2. Says, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. That's God's heart for us, right? That's God's heart and desire for his kids. He wishes above all things that his kids are prosperous and in health, right? And that means that God watches over all aspects of your life, if you allow him to. He wants to see you prosper materially, and he wants to see you healthy and whole, right? That's the kind of God that we have. That's a God who always watches over us, right? In every category of our life. We also have a God who loves every one of us. John 3:16. You know this one. They probably have this up at the Little League sign. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God so loved us, right? It's a God, we have a God who loves every one of us. And God so loved us and everybody else in the world that he gave his only begotten Son so that we could have life, so that we wouldn't perish, but have everlasting life. And that's a huge love. Right? I can't imagine giving up one of my daughters for somebody else. Sorry, you were both hanging on a cliff. I'm grabbing my kid, right? And I feel like as parents, that's, we would all do that. But God gave his only begotten Son so that we could have life. Go to Romans 2, verse 11. Romans 2:11. He's a God who loves every one of us. And in verse chapter 2, verse 11, it says, for there is no respect of persons with God. Right? And so that means that God loves you no matter who you are, no matter what you look like, smell like, what you did in your past, what you didn't do in your past. God doesn't care. He's not a respecter of persons. He doesn't look at one person and go, well, if they only showered a little more, I'd love them. He loves every single one of us. He loves you whether or not you like to sing songs at fellowship or not. God loves you just the same. He's not a respecter of persons. So when it says that God loves every one of us, it means every one of us, right? All of us, no matter who you are. And 1 John chapter 4. verse 7. I'm so thankful God's not like people. There are definitely people I don't really like to be around. Right? There's certain categories of people that I don't enjoy. But God is not a respecter of persons. God loves you no matter what. And the cool thing is that I can love the way that God does. I can change my mind and still love those people, even though it doesn't come easy. 1 John 4:7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of who? God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth, gnosko, experientially knows God. He that loves is not, he that loveth not knoweth not God. For God is love. God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. John 3:16. Herein is love. This is the way in which love was demonstrated, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And thank the Lord that we didn't have to love him first, right? He loved us. He loved us. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another, right? We ought to love each other that way too, right? And how thankful we can be that we can love with the love of God. And we have a God who's done so much for all of us. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 30. We've already seen a bunch of it tonight, right? God gave his only begotten Son for us. God gave us Holy Spirit. God gave us the victory over death. We have great direct access to God. But that's not all, Jim. behind door number three, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom. These are things that God's given to us or made us to be. He's given us wisdom. He's made us righteous. He's sanctified us and he's redeemed us. He's given us those things, right? He's given us wisdom so that we can know him and know his will for our lives, that we can know what to do in situations. He's made us righteous, right? We stand before God. He sees us perfect. He doesn't see any sins. He doesn't see any shortcomings. We don't need to feel guilty in front of God. He sanctified us. He set us apart from the rest of the world. We're reserved. We've got a place. We're seated in the heavenlies. And he's redeemed us. He's forgiven us. We've been bought back with a price, right? It's already been paid for. That by itself would be plenty. But God has done so much for all of us. Go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4, verse 6. And honestly, if I tried to tell you all the things that God did for you, this would be a very long teaching and everyone would fall asleep eventually. So I'm just hitting the high points. But Philippians 4, 6, it says, be careful or anxious for nothing. I mean, that's pretty awesome. When you think about what God has done for you, he's given you the ability, he's made it available for you to not be anxious, right? To not be fearful or worried. But in everything, that's everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep or guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Right? God's given us peace. One of the things he's given us victory over is fear and anxiety. We can cast our cares to him, as it says, because he cares for us, right? He's given us peace. John 10:10. He's done so much for all of us. We have the nine manifestations. We can operate nine manifestations. We can operate supernatural power because of the Holy Spirit that we have. God did that. He made that available. And we have all nine, every one of us. Not like some of us have a couple and the other person may have one. We can do all nine. In John 10:10, it says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's what the devil wants for your life. I am come that they might have life, Zoe, life in all of its manifestations in every category. That they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Right? God did that for us. He made it available for us to have a more than abundant life in every category. Right? He's promised to meet our needs. He's our sufficiency in all things. He said that in Manifestations tonight too. Right? God's done so much for us. So much for all of us. We certainly have a great big wonderful God. We're going to close back where we started in 1 Chronicles 29. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 10. So it just tickled me to think about that song that we have. We really do have a great, big, wonderful God. We have a God who's always victorious, who's always watching over us, who loves every one of us, and who has done so much for all of us. And in 1 Chronicles 29, verse 10, again, it says, wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thy hand is power and might, and in thy hand is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now, therefore, our God, because of how great and big and wonderful you are, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. We have a God who's worthy of that great praise and worthy of our great thankfulness because of all that he's done for us. We have a great, big, wonderful God.